host, Josh Gillespie, here on FDRRadio.com. If this is your first time tuning into Gillespie, you are tuning in to the very first episode at 10 o'clock here on FTR. We are in our brand new time slot for our dedicated listeners who have been with us at the 7 o'clock hour, at the 8 o'clock hour. Now, leapfrogging 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Oh, and immediately following Ashley Sewell, I hope you guys tuned in to the Texas Trendy Chick. That's a great show. I am pleased that she's a wonderful lead-in. And, of course, you got Duke at 8 o'clock. I'd make fun of Duke, but he's on later on the show. Plus, he's a station manager. There's only so much you can do. But I am, in all honesty, I'm very thankful and grateful to Duke for having full faith and confidence and Mark and Christy and me and to make the sleep to 10 o'clock. We have a jam-packed show tonight. We actually have a very special interview from a guest of ours, Glenn Asbury. You may remember him from a couple weeks ago. He writes for Hoosier Access and for Pundit League. He was able to sit down with Indiana freshman congressman Todd Rokita, and so we have that coming up here shortly. And then a very special edition of Ask a Rhino. And you know what you call a herd of rhinos? You don't call it a herd, you call it a crash. And frankly, that's what this episode is. We have five rhinos. Well, maybe four. It depends on, Duke doesn't call himself a rhino. So but it's a fun episode. But, you know, with what happened this past weekend, I want to take a little bit of time to reflect on that. As one who has served in the public sector prior and currently serves in the public sector, I want to talk about what happened with Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and about public service. And public service is an honorable profession and one that I am proud to be a part of as an employee and hopefully elected in the future. I won't lie. I hope to serve in a public office maybe in the future. But there's no finer way to make your community a better place in which to live than to get directly involved in the process of improving it. And despite the actions of a few bad apples, I think that those who dedicate their lives to it deserve our admiration and respect. When I logged onto Twitter this past Saturday at around 1:30, I found that Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona was savagely attacked by a crazed loon. I didn't care about politics or partisanship, and I suspect that most of you didn't either. All I thought was that someone who was elected to be a servant of the people had been shot, meeting with those she served. That's why I couldn't agree more with Speaker Boehner's statement immediately after that senseless violence over the weekend when he said, "An attack on one who serves, an attack is an attack on all who serve." And I join him and others in condemning the attack on Congresswoman Giffords in the strongest possible way. Serving others is one of the purest expressions of love that mankind can offer. We rightly honor the brave men and women who don a uniform day after day in order to protect us from enemies, criminals, or the ravages of fire and natural disaster. Thankfully, such a feeling is typically nonpartisan. While I doubt there are many elected officials willing to compare themselves to soldiers, firefighters, or police officers, and I'm not suggesting an equal comparison here either, the desire to serve one's community takes on various forms, and I do believe that holding office is one of the ways to do it. It's clear that Congresswoman Giffords feels the very same thing. After attending Scripps College and Cornell University, Giffords was a Harvard Fellow before returning to Arizona to run her family's small business. After it was sold, she was elected to the Arizona House of Representatives before becoming the youngest member of the Arizona State Senate in 2002. She developed a reputation for effectiveness and for bipartisanship, and was named by the Mental Health Association of Arizona as 2004 Legislator of the Year. Following her 2006 election to the U.S. House, Congresswoman Giffords focused on tough issues like border security and comprehensive immigration reform, and was a key vote for protecting gun rights, issues not normally favored by her party, but forming a bipartisan spirit amongst her colleagues. She also voted for the controversial May 2007 Iraq Emergency Supplemental Spending Bill, saying, "I cannot in good conscience allow the military to run out of money while American servicemen and women are being attacked every day." This is an issue of special importance to the Congresswoman, considering that she is married to Navy Captain Mark Kelly, who is a decorated combat veteran of Operation Desert Storm, as well as an astronaut. While we typically don't see our elected officials anymore as Joe or Jane Everyman, Congresswoman Giffords While we typically don't see our elected officials anymore as Joe or Jane Everyman, it's definitely fair to say that the Congresswoman fits our definition of one. Like me and maybe some of you, she is a parent. She understands service even for the neediest among us. And she was embodying the act of service by an elected official by doing her job, meeting with her constituents on their level at a grocery store. The life of an elected official must go on. Meetings must be held back in the district. Debates must be had and bills must be voted on. So I ask that as Representative Giffords moves into the recovery phase, that you say a prayer for her, her family, and for the safety of all of our elected officials. Our great republic requires that sacrificial service of others in order to exist. And I look forward to you guys sticking around. We're going to be talking to one of those elected officials who is serving the people of Indiana's 4th Congressional District, freshman Representative Congressman Todd Rokita. That'll be a special interview with Glenn Asbury. And then after that, an extended edition of Ask a Rhino. We have Thomas LaDuke of Duke Over America. We have John Brodigan returning again, the Rated R Republican, the right hook, you know him from. Dina Fraioli making her third appearance. What can I say? I like Dina. She's got a lot to say. Emily Borkholder making her very first appearance on the show from Hoosier Access. Hostage Hoosier, you know her on Twitter, making her first appearance. And, of course, Mark Warner, Indiana's own massive rhino. It is a crash, I tell you what. Anyway, I want you guys to stick around. We're going to be talking about a bunch of subjects with these rhinos. And, of course, Todd Rokita, he is not a rhino, let me tell you that. It's going to be a good show. Stick around. We're going to have a couple messages, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. Please stick around.
Hey, I'm Essie Cupp. You're listening to FTR Radio, from the right radio, online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie. I'm your host, Josh Gillespie. I am thankful to Glenn Asbury. Many of you know Glenn. He contributes to Hoosier Access, to Pundit League. You know him from his Twitter personalities of the week. Glenn got a chance to interview Indiana Congressman, freshman Congressman, Todd Rokita from the 4th Congressional District. Glenn has allowed me to air his interview with Congressman Rokita on my show. I want to say a special thanks to Glenn for allowing me to do that. It was a good interview. It's interesting to hear a freshman's experience, the first time he is sworn in, what he is feeling that day, and the charge that he has before him. So listen in to what Glenn and Congressman Rokita had to say. It's a good interview. Please stick around for this.
Well, on behalf of Hoosier Access, thanks so much for your time this morning.
You bet.
Congressman Rokita,
you bet.
It's good to see you. First of all, I think the automatic question that has to be asked is, what does it feel to be here? What does it feel like to be here today on what a historic day?
Right. You know, I guess that, albeit a little cliche, but very true, it is a tremendous honor.
Mm-hmm.
The public service in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will tell you, my time as a statewide elected official in Indiana, particularly as Indiana Secretary of State, and I've said this publicly before, has been the highest honor and privilege of my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is a variation on that theme.
Mm-hmm.
So I take as much pride, as much honor, and as much weight, you know, in making good on this service to our state. I also come here, though, with a high degree of solemnity, because we're not here in a necessarily celebratory fashion. There are a lot of hard decisions that are going to be made that are going to affect all of us, and hardly any of us are going to like them. I mean, we are talking about measures of austerity that has not been seen before in this country and that are very much needed. And that's the mission that I'm on. Re-election be damned. And I think you'll find a lot of our freshman class are unified in that. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yes.
But that's what we're here to do. So it's not so much, yay, 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 we're here, and yay, we're serving. It's, my Lord, the work we have cut out for us.
Mm-hmm. Can you name some specifics that you might be looking at in areas of sacrifice that all of us, all of your constituents are going
right.
to
I mean, as and remember, I'm on the budget committee, so
okay.
I'm going to be working with great Americans like Paul Ryan, who mm-hmm. I respect very
Absolutely.
Much, and he has the Roadmap to America, so look to that as kind of an architectural a guidepost for us, meaning the architecture for what we're going to do. But specifically inside that architecture, I mean, what we're talking about here is not $25 million cut for this program or, not the ornamental things. That's going to happen. That should happen. But we need to make structural changes in these entitlement programs and in defense. Mm-hmm. And I break with a lot of Republicans when I'm considering even looking at defense, absolutely.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me every war we fight is for America's safety these days. And you cannot tell me there's not waste. You cannot tell me there's no waste, fraud, and abuse in the military. I mean, remember, you're talking to a guy who's run a 1987 budget for 8 years as Secretary of State. No, I know how to fry the fat.
So you're going to take a line item approach to this.
Well, I'm going to take an Indiana approach, and I'm going to try to sell that approach. And that is, look what we did in Indiana. I mean, we've proven.
No doubt.
That this can be done. 15% across the board. The only thing that was not subject to that 15% was probably education. What was education? But we still did 5. Mm-hmm. So if that's, I think, and not everyone agrees with me on this, but I think this part of the secret to our success is that we're not leaving anything off the table. We're not mm-hmm. picking, targeting necessarily programs at the expense of others.
So if the other party forces your hand and it comes to this, to where it's an up or down vote as to whether or not to move a continuing resolution forward to fund a government that is still way over budget, what does a scenario look like that for you?
Well, I don't know the particulars on that, to be quite honest with you, yet. I mean, that's what I'm looking
for. Well, we all hope it doesn't happen, I think. But.
Well, I'm looking forward to that first budget committee meeting with
I bet you
Ryan.
Are.
And, he's another guy that for 10 years now, he's a guy that's going to sleep in his office like I intend to. So I know we're going to be at the gym early mornings, and I intend to get some extra doses there. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, look, again, you're talking to an executive branch guy, which there's not many of them here in Congress.
Oh, sure.
And so I think I can bring that kind of experience to the table, number one. Number two, Indiana experience.
Yes.
If you go to my plan, I'm going to, down the road, it might be the first thing that comes out of my mouth, but down the road, I say I'd like to see us do a biennial budget. Here in Congress, they're doing it every year, so they get a bite at the apple every year. I think one of the secrets to Indiana's success is that we only allow the legislators a bite every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd like to see, I'm a proponent of the line item veto. I think that, there's some constitutional issues there, of course, and there's some balance of power issues, but I think in this day and age it really is needed to keep the president's feet to the fire on his bureaucracies.
There's a slightly different vote coming up next week, of course, the vote to repealing health care. Can you speak just briefly about that?
Sure. Most of our caucus and certainly the new members are looking forward to that vote. It's mm-hmm. a lot of what we ran on. It is a horrible law.
Yes.
It is an unconstitutional law. It is an expensive law that's going to break our bank. We could save a lot of the debt that we're in right now if we just repeal that thing. However, we have to be honest with ourselves, too. When Republicans were all in power, like in the early part of this of the last decade,
yes.
all the private sector ideas for improving the system, private sector ideas mm-hmm. that I talk about at ToddRakita.com and my healthcare plan, could have been done then. I mean, these weren't brand new ideas. We just researched them and plucked them out and stuck them on our website. I mean, because they're good ideas. So we have to have the ability to not only just repeal, but also offer, again, for consideration, a solid set of private sector solutions. Health savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy and I have now at the state of Indiana, Governor Mitch Daniels, I and others promoted those. 70% of state employees are using health savings accounts. Our costs are going down. That's one out of probably 12 examples I have for private sector initiatives. Go ahead.
The naysayers to the vote next week, though, are saying, why even bother? Because the president won't sign on. So what would you say to that?
Okay. There is, you just hit on, the crux of the matter. All right? Just because some president may not do something, or some stodgy senator may not vote for something, doesn't affect why I came here. I'm leaving my kids and my wife every week. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming here to do small things or worry about what other people might vote. I am going to put on the plate things that I think will get this country strong again, mm-hmm. make it best in the world in the 21st century, because right now we're not going to be. Okay? We're not going to be.
Not headed down a good path.
Yeah.
Right.
And if a senator or a president has a problem with that, that's their problem, mm-hmm. and that's the voters to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And I'll help the voters deal with them.
Sure.
By giving them this alternative.
Well, I really appreciate you seeing me today. I have to ask one final question. Yeah. Your hiring of this lady, Erica Anderson, as press secretary, says a lot to what I want to ask you about. What are your plans to continue reaching out to different types of social media, the blogosphere, Facebook, Twitter?
Although on some days I feel different, I'm really not that old yet. So I think I still have some things to offer the political process in terms of leveraging what you all bring to the table.
Thanks. So. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Congressman, good to see you.
Good to see you. Look forward to your relationship.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely.
My thanks to Glenn Asbury for allowing me again to use his interview with Congressman Todd Rokita. Ahead, it's a crash of rhinos. Please stick around. We have Tom LaDuke, Dina Fraioli, John Brodigan, Emily Borkholder making her very first appearance, Hostage Hoosier on Twitter, and of course Mark Warner. All rhinos coming up next here on Gillespie.
6 out of 10 Republicans recommend FTR Radio to everyone they know. The other 4 are rhinos. FTR Radio, online at FTRradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time again for the wave that's taken the nation by storm, where I put so-called Republicans on the spot. Are they real GOPers or just Republicans in name only? It's time for Ask a Rhino!
And welcome to Gillespie. Welcome back to Gillespie. We're having a very special modified Ask a Rhino this week. And I guess thanks to Dina Freyo is on the show yet again. She's that popular, folks. This is not just two rhinos. This is what we would call a crash of rhinos, which is a grouping. We have Tom LaDuke from Duke Over America, John Brodigan, the right hook, the rated R Republican has returned, Dina Fraioli, Mark Warner, as usual, the Hoosier rhino, and easily one of my favorite people in the entire world, Emily Borkholder, is making her very first appearance on Gillespie and, frankly, on Skype in general. So we have – this is definitely a crash of rhinos because this whole thing could just fall apart at any moment's notice.
It's a gaggle of rhinos, actually.
It really is.
And I'm not a rhino, for God's sake. Let's just get that clear.
Okay, that's right.
Jesus.
Duke is our hardcore R.
Oh,
deny,
my God.
Deny.
I want to get serious a bit because I want to cover a couple of topics. One, I mean, we cannot do this segment without talking about what happened Saturday, the shooting in Arizona. We're also going to cover Bill Daley being hired at the White House, with basically Obama's stamp, his first real stamp on the White House. But first of all, I want to kind of get your guys' impression. I mean, Twitter was ablaze yesterday. We all know that, you know, on Saturday, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was shot point blank in the head. Fortunately, she has survived. Her condition from here on out, I mean, I honestly, personally, I can't see her ever returning to Congress. She very well could, and that would be a wonderful thing. But I just don't know how she's going to do it. But the reaction that took place yesterday, I mean, exploded on Twitter. There was an article on Politico on Sunday just talking about how it basically Twitter went nuts from essentially from the way that I see it, it was all from the lefties, the P2 crowd, that just went psychotic on Twitter. Well, guys, I want to get your impression. I mean, all of you were very active on Twitter yesterday. You saw what was going on. I think probably the person who was the most active on Twitter from our side was Kevin Eater, who was trying to fight back a lot of the P2 ramblings, basically saying that if we don't fight this, the liberals are going to win the war of the words. I mean, first of all, what was your reaction? I mean, I especially want to hear from Dina, who's in Washington. You know, these things are going on. I mean, this stuff is going on in Arizona. What was the reaction there in, I mean, D.C. writ large?
Well, I think it just kind of made me think about the Virginia Tech shooting. It made me think of the D.C. sniper. It made me think of that jackass who decided to kill someone at the Holocaust Museum, which I was there for, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was on the ground. I heard gunshots and I was down on the ground.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be another situation here where we've got, I mean, security's got to be ramped up like crazy on the Hill. I can't see it not happening. It's just absolutely devastating. I can't understand it. I'm very upset about it. And I'm very upset about all of the things that are coming out that are possibilities but not facts. So we've got people talking about, you know, is it an anti-Semitic thing? Is it because he's crazy? And in that situation, it's like you blame the person, not the illness. He is the one who did this. It's sick and it's completely wrong. And I can't stop being furious about it. I think basically people around here are basically sharing that sentiment. And there's been a lot of vigils. I don't know what word that is. And I don't know. I think that's going to continue. I think it's just a very somber mood here.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what was your take? I mean, you've been kind of off and on all weekend. What was your reaction? What were you, you know, what were you seeing?
Well, it shocked me. I mean, you know how many town hall meetings I've been to, Josh, with you and the congressman, and you know how many events I go to weekly. And, you know, it made me think about just that in itself. It's how that is going to change town hall meetings and congressional offices. And knowing you work in one of those is going to, you know, it makes people think about how is this going to change just walking into the congresswoman's or the congressman's offices in the district.
I think I personally think you're going to see a lot more protection. I know that in our office, for as long as I've been associated with the office, and this goes back to when I started as an intern in 2001, there's always been a lock on the office. I mean, there is a keypad lock. You can't get in.
I know Congressman Souter had his office in a courthouse.
A lot of congressmen have, you know, just basically offices that are on the street, kind of like shopping mall kind of things, strip malls.
Right. Mm-hmm. My thing is I think that – this is my personal opinion. If anybody disagrees with me, fine. I think the Congress should have protection detail.
Every single member?
Every single member, yeah. Even whether it comes out of their budget or whatever. I think they should have at least one person that goes with them. And
no, I don't necessarily know about security detail, but I think you could probably see that in public events there will be a lot more security.
That's what I'm talking about, and traveling alone.
Well, I'll say this for Congressman Eric Cantor, who you know, basically set out this week that the only legislative business that is going to be taking place is going to be a resolution honoring Congresswoman Giffords.
Mm-hmm.
The healthcare bill that was supposed to be voted on this week is being pushed back. Legislative business is basically, it's going to be kind of a somber occasion. And, you know, I'll be interested to see how many congressmen actually return for this week, knowing that there's not going to be a lot of there won't be any votes this week. There will be action on the floor, but there won't be any votes. So it'll be interesting to see how it really does play out. So,
well, I think that's fitting with what's happened. And I know a few people, you know, tweeted Speaker Boehner and said, you know, if my grandma dies, I still have to go and work. You know what? This is totally different. It's totally different.
Well, and mind you, if members are back in the district, they're still at work. So.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to have this cast a great sadness on this segment. I do think I did want to pay a group respect to Congresswoman Giffords. But that said, I kind of want to lighten the mood a bit now, and I want to talk about. I'm going to change gears here on you guys. And this past week, a couple of things happened. One, first of all, Bill Daley, the former mayor of. I always thought he was current mayor. I don't know what the heck was going on in Chicago, but I guess he stepped down to take the position of chief of staff for President Obama. And this is basically President Obama putting his stamp on this presidency. This is Chicago politics, friends, in D.C. And I think the closest that you can get to dirty politics going on in Washington, if it can get any dirtier, is New York politics and Michigan politics. And so I think that's why we have our good friends Duke and Brodigan on the line here. It can get their perspective, because I found it quite amusing that as soon as Bill Daley comes aboard, Robert Gibbs, the White House's own gaffe machine, is summarily dismissed in a very political way, saying that he is stepping down in February.
But that was coming, though. That was one of the least best kept secrets in D.C.
Oh, we all saw it coming. But I mean, typically a press secretary doesn't, you know, go more than 2 or 3 years in a White House.
Well, but so, what I meant though was, I mean, I was hearing that 3 months ago that Gibbs was angling he wanted out. You know, he wanted to become, you know, a senior advisor, which means he gets to sit in the Oval Office and eat Cheetos all day. He doesn't have to go and sit in front of the press and, you know, sweat like a hog.
Well, here's the thing. But, you know, he wanted out of the press position, but now he's out of the White House completely. And Valerie Jarrett can't be too far behind.
Well, I mean, Valerie Jarrett is an idiot in the first place. I mean, this is a woman who...
John, haven't we learned anything over the past couple days that you have to tone the rhetoric down, you dipshit?
But hang on. Valerie Jarrett is the perfect pound sign epic fail for me with the Obama administration. When she goes on Face the Nation... And when she gets called out on the fact that they're trying to, like, demagogue Fox News, we're speaking truth to power. The senior advisor of the leader of the free world, because all she knows is catchphrases, conceded that a news network is more powerful than the White House. So, quite frankly, she should go. Yeah, and I'm just excited about four words, Press Secretary Bill Burton.
Okay, Emily, we seem to have gotten other people's impression here of Bill Daley in the White House. What's your take on it?
Well, I'm from northern Indiana, so my impression of Chicago in and of itself is a poor one. Basically, anything coming from Chicago establishment has to be bad in my mind. And there's a reason, if you look on my Twitter profile right now, it says Chicago on the Potomac as my location.
It definitely is now, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I assume that would be what would happen from the outset. Nobody comes out of Chicago clean.
Okay, Dina, what are your thoughts on Daley in the White House here?
It's going to be interesting, but I don't think he necessarily has the same sort of thug skills that Rahm Emanuel had, which I found to be lots of fun because Chicago politics is hilarious to me being a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. But he's still, you know, so...
You New Yorkers, all right? All right, after the playoffs, you know what? I just don't want to hear anything from you.
Are we too rowdy? Is that what you're saying?
You know what? You can take your lime green shirts and your fire hats and just what? I can't say this on the show, so never mind.
wait a second. In New York's defense, Fireman Ed's an idiot.
I couldn't agree with you more, but still. All right, so I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dina.
One quick second. We don't blame Indiana for John Mellencamp. We don't blame Michigan for Tom LeDuc. Don't blame us for
Don't blame New York for Brodigan and me, you know? Brodigan and I.
Yeah, thank you. Please get your grammar correct.
I write for a living. I should know.
Dina, your New York is showing.
I know. I think everyone in D.C., I think that's what they love to say to me when it comes out. It's like, your New York is showing, which it's so true. It's funny.
If I had a nickel every time I whipped out my New York,
oh, geez. Can we not do that?
The children must look away in horror.
That's right. Hey, Duke, you know what?
If they could see it, yeah.
If they could find it?
Yeah, if they could find his New York when he whipped it out.
It's somewhere. It's there somewhere. He knows it.
People, this is a family show. Anyway, well, Duke, speaking of, I mean, you know, you live in a state that was run by a Canadian and now has a government-owned auto industry. Frankly, you guys are corrupt but don't know how to do it right. How do you explain Chicago working right and this translating to D.C.?
It's – I don't know how. I mean, we're only 300 miles apart. We just hired a nerd for a governor. I don't know why, you know, like Thug Kwame, you know, couldn't do it the way that they do it in Chicago. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words, you know, but I do know that we do put out really good music. Okay.
Nugent.
You know, from, you even go back to Motown and, you know.
Oh, Motown. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Motown Ford. Okay. We do have the Bob Ritchie and the Marshall Mathers.
Oh yeah, also known as Slim Shady.
Let's not forget Tom LeDuc's favorite Uncle Cracker.
That's right. I was at his bar yesterday eating the 99-cent tacos.
Just, you know.
So yeah. I mean, I don't know why.
In a little while, he'll be thinking about you.
You know what? I really do wish I had that ability to pull out a lyric out of my ass like you do at any moment. You amaze me with that. You really do. But you know what? I'm
just
sure
whipping
that
out my New York.
That's. Please hide your New York from the rest of the world.
Which, you know, you're going to go to Chicago, and what's Daley supposed to do? He's supposed to turn around the president, you know, for the next, 13 months? Make everything run much smoother than it is? I do kind of get a kick out of how they think that in Chicago, which is really kind of like an isolated little area in Illinois, that it's supposed to be, well, yeah, corruption's good. It'll work here, too. It doesn't matter what the policy is.
Mm-hmm.
And, the policy kind of did suck. The whole thing that you've heard from the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi last weekend, actually, was it's the PR. We got beat on the PR. Or it was Bush's fault. So we'll see if Mr. Daley can do anything. And, coming from a Michigan, I don't really think it matters because I think we're screwed.
what's interesting about Daley is he was a really strong, outspoken opponent in public of Obama's healthcare reform and the financial regulation bill.
I don't recall that. How about that?
You learn something new from Dina every day.
I do. Really? I do. I do.
He was an outspoken critic of that, though?
He was pretty outspoken, which is actually fascinating. I would have to imagine if I was the Republican majority leader and I'm getting ready to get a bill about repealing Obamacare, every single piece of paper would have the headline, Bill Daley supports this. Chief of Staff Bill Daley supports this.
Wow, that does put a little bit of a different spin on it, doesn't it?
Huh. Very interesting. Those New Yorkers, I tell you, they come up with something interesting every once in a while.
Also, MoveOn.org was not very happy about this, but, you know, he's not progressive enough for them.
Interesting. Well,
I mean, how progressive do you need to be? Chicago's a corrupt city, and it runs. You know, payouts are being made left to right. You know, I don't know what the hell more they would want.
Yeah.
Well, okay here. But Gibbs, you know, Gibbs is on his way out, which, I mean, we knew was happening. We knew he wanted another position within the White House, but now he's out of the White House. And many are saying that this is a Daley move. Emily, what do you think about Gibbs on his way out here?
Well, if it really is Daly's doing, I really can't argue with that aspect of it, because Gibbs is just awful. He's awful. I mean,
Joe Biden isn't going to have a buddy anymore, in which, you know, to bring up websites.
Well, and Blogosphere's lost, like, half its material.
That's true. That's true. Brodigan, have you lost all your material?
Not at all. I always have Leduc to fall back on.
The Robert Gibbs of FTR, huh?
I am the Roger. Hold on. I am the Roger Ailes of FTR.
That's right.
Thank you. But, you know, Gibbs, like I had said, I think before, he was, you know, 3 months ago you were hearing about this. He wanted to get out in front of dealing with the reporters, because it's like he was dealing with people that were, I don't know, you know, like 80 to 90, 100 IQ points ahead of him. You know, it wasn't fun for him. It was fun for us to watch, but, you know, he wanted out of there. So I don't really think. I'm not looking too much into that. I think that's maybe more people just trying to, you know, I don't know, maybe create a story when there wasn't really any stories going on.
Sure.
So if Gibbs leaves the White House totally, he goes back to Chicago with Axelrod, you know, and they're looking for office fronts to run the president's campaign out of.
Side note, you know, I encourage everyone, if you're not already, to be following Mayor Emanuel on Twitter. It's pure comedic gold.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what's pure comedic gold? Someone created a fake Governor Cuomo Twitter account on the Twitter, and because the New York Democrat Party runs on smart power, whoever designed the governor's website linked to the fake Governor Cuomo Twitter account.
Yes.
Blasty with a K. That's awesome.
How long ago did you figure that out? About a day. Oh.
So basically, what was happening was everyone would be Twittering, I think it was like Governor Cuomo, and like, is this really you? And Governor Cuomo would respond, yes, just throw it up my official page and see what link it is.
Oh, my word.
I love New York.
Well, okay.
You don't seem that happening with Mitch Daniels, just saying.
That's right. And actually, if you go to Mitch Daniels' official Twitter account, he hasn't tweeted once. So we are a black sea in a sea of red. Whatever it is, whatever's the good color and whichever is the bad color, the good color, while the rest of those Midwest states like Michigan suck.
Although I have to say, when my stepdad is in Chicago, which is not that often, but when he is, and when Rahm Emanuel's mayor, because I think it's going to happen, he looks exactly like Rahm Emanuel and kind of like Anthony Bourdain. So people, when he was in Chicago, were like, oh, hey, Rahm. And he's like, he's got this really strong New York accent, so it really doesn't work in Chicago, but it's fun.
Well, all he needs to do is just really start to go up to people and start poking them in the chest.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's doing ballet moves? You know.
I am officially going to say that I will go to a fundraiser with Rahm Emanuel if him and Ron Reagan Jr. will get in the tights and do a little, you know, thing that they used to do, which oddly enough John Brodigan used to do less than 3 weeks ago. So I would go to that fundraiser. I would throw $1,000 down.
Is that what Fingers is doing right now?
I have no comment.
Practicing pot of array.
Fingers in anything tight is not good.
Well, guys,
just saying for the record.
Okay, you know, we're coming close to the end here, and like I said at the top of the segment, I'd be remiss if with this crew I didn't happen to bring up the NFL playoffs. Although being it is my show, I am from Indiana. I did not like the outcome.
I'm in New Orleans. No comment.
And I know my fellow Hoosier Emily is also not fond of this, but then again, Emily doesn't have to be doing the can-can at CPAC.
First of all, let's give it up for the Detroit Lions and the come-on victory from yesterday.
That's right. The Colts might have well lost to the Detroit Lions.
You wait till next year, punk.
That's right. They're
really good at saying that.
You know,
I'm so scared.
Hold on. The Lions are going to win 7 games next year, and they're going to be like the Seahawks and make it into the first round of the playoffs.
Damn. I mean, had we not lost that game to Chicago.
Does Michigan even know there's such a thing called postseason?
Next time I see you, you're going to learn what post-trauma is.
hey, at least Detroit has the wet Red Wings and hockey and some an American
something. Or a, we got something. I don't know. We've got a cherry festival every year.
How about them Tigers? Oh.
Hey, we went to the World Series in 2006. Shut up.
How long
and you got your ass handed to you.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know what? I didn't bring that part up, okay? There was a reason I didn't bring that part up.
How about those Detroit Pistons?
World champions in 2004, five or six,
what's
six
those?
In a
I don't
row.
I think you want to bring the basketball with the Pacers, Josh. Bad idea.
No. I'm not going there because, frankly, it's the Pistons' fault that the Pacers suck.
I'm a Spurs fan, and we're kicking y'all's asses anyway, so whatever.
How you could be from New York and be a Spurs fan? That just seems wrong.
Have you seen New York basketball teams lately?
He's a rhino. What do you expect?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There are no firm commitments.
Plus, there are really, really hot men in Texas, and they like the Spurs, so I'm going to stick with it.
I like it.
Dina, the hot men in Texas who like the Spurs probably aren't going to like you back.
They're going to love me. How could you not love all of this? Come on.
Did you hear that valid point? All of this.
All of this, yeah.
All of this.
Okay, the funny thing about the Jets-Colts bet is that Dina will agree with me on here. Not even Jets are in the first place. I just made a bet to be a dick.
Yes, you did. And unfortunately, April, one of the contributors to Hoosier Access, who is not on this call, but agreed to this bet before Mark and I could really say anything. And then not only did she agree to the bet, getting Mark and I involved, but she upped the ante without giving us any fair warning. And, you know, that's why we're doing the can-can, I guess.
Spreading the news.
Are we singing Frank?
That's what I want to hear.
I'll sing Frank.
I'm really glad I wasn't part of this bet.
All the others do the can-can.
I dedicated at CPAC last year. I did New York, New York to Brodigan.
He did.
Brought the house down, and you know what he did to me? He punched me in the back of the head.
and actually, Leduc, you don't know this, but I was at karaoke Thursday night, and I did Uncle Frankie's Follow Me, and I dedicated it to you.
Oh, and I wasn't in the room.
Right.
Hack.
But I did.
Oh. You hack.
Hi, have we met?
I can see that this segment has completely degenerated, and frankly, we should wrap it up.
I just got a text message from Mark.
Yes.
Just go on without me. I keep crashing.
Okay. Actually, speaking of Mark, can I put in a quick plug?
Yes, you may.
Okay, this week on The Right Hook, we are completely stealing the Gillespie gimmick. We're doing an all-Indiana show.
And how come I'm not invited? I've had to join my show frickin' twice. There's a dog here with the show Gillespie. You know, it's me. Yeah, you have my co-host. You have my Andy Richter, my Vanna White on your show. You don't have the star.
Honestly,
I guess so.
Because I booked the show a month ago, and unfortunately the contract with Mark is ironclad. I tried to get my attorneys out of it.
Mark knows his language. He knows his lawyerese.
We are stealing the Gillespie gimmick to talk about Indiana and 2012 with Mike Pence. Well, not with Mike Pence and Mitch Daniels, because let's be honest, they're not going to come on FDR Radio or Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I'll have you know, and I want my listeners to hear this because, frankly, I hope this only draws in more people because they'll start talking about it. I like buzz. I'm trying to get Mike Pence onto FDR Radio. I kid you not.
Nice.
It will happen.
He's been on FDR Radio. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Mike Pence has been on FDR?
Oh, yeah.
When was CPAC?
You want his contact info?
No. Hey,
I got a cell phone number. You want me to give it to you?
Now you're just rubbing it in, Duke. It's like,
yeah.
I know people. I can get to Mike Pence.
Yeah, I mean, let me just, because, you know, we do have CPAC coming up. I'll just do this really quick. One of the most disturbing sights at CPAC 2010 last year.
Brodigan?
We got Mike Pence on.
Yeah.
And the congressman was there and very gracious with his time. And so because Fingers is from Indiana, and actually Pence's sister lives in the same city that Fingers does.
Pence's district, I'll tell you that right now.
No, it's not Pence's district, but, you know, they hit it off.
Yes.
From Indiana, you know, Pence's sister lives right in Finger City there. So they did a little talking before, and then we bring him on air and everything. And Fingers asked some stupid question that he's famous for, but he sounded like it was a serious question. Uh-huh. And a respected congressman like Mike Pence turns to him and looks at him and goes, well, you know, that's an interesting question, Fingers.
He called him Fingers.
He called him Fingers. And I ran out of the building on fire because I knew the apocalypse was near. I was like, here is one of my, you know, I would say, I don't put politicians as heroes, but I respect this guy for what he's done. And he just looked at this idiot with a mohawk and said, that's an interesting question, Fingers. That's a professional, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman Mike Pence, a professional.
That's right. That's why when he becomes Indiana's next governor, he will have that contact in the Malloy household. He'll just be able to call up Fingers.
I was going to say, and let's clarify that. Mike Pence is governor, not Fingers Malloy. No. Because your state will sink quicker than the Titanic or Michigan combined.
Is it faster to sink than Michigan?
Well, either California's going to go down geographically or, you know, financially, and we're just going to go down financially.
Okay.
And remember, speaking of California, the New York GOP at least doesn't look as bad as California does.
That's true. And I want to thank Tom LaDuke. This segment is premiering in its new time slot.
That's right.
At 10 p.m. on Tuesday night. So...
Whoa, back up a second. I thought I was going to be on Gillespie. You actually have him and took over America?
No,
you're on Gillespie.
Duke is taking over the old Gillespie time slot.
So oh.
By the time this airs, you will have already listened to Duke Over America by the time you get to Gillespie.
Actually, the funny thing is, by the time this airs, I'm recording my own show.
Great, so Mark isn't even going to be listening. Okay.
What an idiot.
So not only does Mark just not even want to dial back into the show, he's not even going to be listening when this airs, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, and he literally just tweeted that he got cut off again, which we figured out about half an hour ago.
Yeah, and just to save, you know, it was planned.
That's right.
Yeah, his time was expired.
Well, yeah. I want to thank all my listeners who have followed me from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., now 10 p.m.,
Oh, wait, you're 10 p.m.?
I am 10 p.m.
I'm not going to listen to
you anymore.
Okay, no, it's you record at 9 p.m.
One, I think Fingers, that Duke had words with Fox, and there came to an agreement that I was not going to, you know, be taking Glee's audience anymore, and we would leave them alone. Because
I'm a heterosexual male. I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't imagine there's a huge overlap. There's some.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. You never know.
Wait a second. I'm confused. Why was the dude talking to Michael J. Fox, and what does this have to do with Gillespie?
All right. This show is over. I want to thank my listeners for tuning in tonight. Stick around for a repeat of Michael Fidenza, the Armchair Energist. We will be back next week at 10 p.m. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to these clowns. This message is Gillespie. I hope you listen. We'll see you again next week.